It is common for us to believe in things we don't fully know or completely understand. For example, I know a plane is able to fly based upon the interplay of four dynamics: lift, thrust, weight, and drag. But don't ask me to build a box with wings and climb on board. I still never really understood radio waves and television signals. And I am completely stupefied how the right combination of millions upon millions of ones and zeros are translated into those beautiful photos of your kids and your grandkids and your loved ones on the smartphone. It's smarter than me on things like that. And I believe, meaning putting total and complete faith of life in the pilot, in the Uber driver, or the food inspector, all total strangers in whom I trust will not be impaired or fail to do their very best to perform at a proficient and competent level of professionalism, thereby ensuring my safety and security and the ones I love who join me in this trust-believing exchange? Well, I know you have options. You have other choices. Binge-watching Netflix under the covers of your bed with plenty of pint-sized Haagen-Dazs in the freezer may protect you from some of the world's ills, but you know, after a couple of days, that retreat wears off, and it's hardly any way to sustain a meaningful and fulfilling existence. So today, for those of you with such courage and dedication to give up your free time and enter into this sanctuary of the redeemed, we are met with a question that perhaps gets at the deepest struggles of living. The question: how can we live toward eternal life? And what kind of living sustenance might we pursue in seeking after it? How are we to be lifted up to a way of life that is not trapped by our physical limits and our existential worries? How might we walk upon a path that leads to salvation and wholeness, that values forgiveness over retribution, self-denial over self-promotion, service over privilege, and sacrifice over self-preservation? The disciples, up to this point in John's gospel, have seen Jesus perform many incredible miracles. They saw him turn water into wine at the wedding at Cana. They observed him calming the storm and then walking upon the water. They witnessed the hungry being fed by bread with an amount that they judge to be of an insufficient quality and quantity. But now we're at a moment of transition in the text. Left to consider the ongoing needs and practices of the community of faith. That's great, Jesus. You did all that wonderful stuff in your earthly ministry, in your earthly life. But where are you now? And how are we to move forward when you're not so physically present? We find this linkage to a deeper and more lasting significance, where water reminds us of his baptism and ours, where bread points to Jesus' body and our corporate life together as the body of Christ still in the world, with him and with one another. Wine reminds us of his life outpoured for the remission of sins and the assurance of our salvation and the hope for our future. Church reformer John Calvin once remarked that God knows that we are mere creatures and so speaks to us in ways that we can understand, with bread, with wine, and with water. And here, at table, we bring our shaky and shady past and our yet-to-be-revealed potential with the one, the very one, the only begotten, the exemplary Word made flesh, the flawless human image of the divine in splendid perfection, who is also the one we at times have denied and too often betrayed, but who persists in inviting us to return, reaching out to us in love and restoration and promised wholeness, to come back, to return to a simple exchange that has an everlasting payout, that by participating in the life of Jesus, by being a part of His community of inclusion and grace, we are changed, transformed, moment by moment, slow minute after slow minute, week tumbling into years, into an image of life fulfillment. Two scholars, Andrea Bleer and Louis Strothoff, speak of a sacramental permeability where the ordinary and the mundane is joined with the holy and the extraordinary. So Peter's question is on point. To whom else can we go? Who can provide this for us? Who else has the words of eternal life? The judge will only give us what we deserve, nothing less and hopefully nothing more. The banker only honors our financial reputation and the resources and wisdom we have trusted with safekeeping. Your employer can give you a paycheck, but it's up to you to bring excellence and meaning into your job. The politician who counts on our vote can betray our interest for the greater desires of those with more wealth and more power. The doctor, so vital to us, especially when we are sick, cannot turn back the clock or stop the body from aging. In the 8:45 service, Dr. Jeff Fox gave me an amen on that line. The minister and counselor with platitudes and promises of a vision too far away can only point in the right direction, but rarely has sufficient capacity to rescue anyone from danger. All of us, from the strongest to the most vulnerable, from the most gifted to the utterly foolish, are in need of an otherworldly source of transcendent wisdom, infinite love, and everlasting peace. All of us long for a wholeness that we can never produce, bound as we are by our own deficiencies and limits, caught as we are in the social networks that often drag us down. When you read the whole Gospel of John, you become aware of the lengths to which Jesus offers His followers comfort and assurance, telling them over and over and over and over again that while He will be gone from them, He has not abandoned them. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the God who has visited them in the flesh, and the Christ who walked with them on the dusty roads of Palestine, will return again and again and again and again. And here in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, the bread of life becomes the living bread. The table of communion, this place of reunification, this participation in the life of Christ, found in broken bread and shared cup. Now, Christians throughout the ages have tried to figure out the details. How does this work? How is this possible? Where can we put our faith? And while I've already offered over 800 words to this discussion, I am still swayed by a line once heard that I can't remember the source. Maybe you can help me. But it still commands this dialogue. The line, "Let none dare to believe that mere words can explain the mystery of the sacrament." Let none dare to believe that mere words can explain the mystery of the sacrament. I will offer this conclusion. Baptists have understood the sacrament to be the presence of Christ in the heart of the believer, more so than in the actual elements that point to Him. And we recognize that as we spread forth this scant feast with this tiny portion of bread and juice, that something greater and mysterious is being revealed. That when two or three are gathered in His name, that He is present, doing His work here with us. That Christ is present with us this morning. That Christ invites us to His presence here this morning. It's not something we have to wait upon. Not something that's locked in the distant past. Not something that cannot be grasped or understood, but is received in the inward part of who we are, received as a gift of grace from God, a reminder that your transgressions are not held against you, your doubts, your worries, your anxieties are not a barrier to this love, that God, in great forgiveness and kindness and generosity, knows you by name and calls you in peace to be a participant at the table. Christ is present in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the cup. Christ is present in the community that honors Him and remembers Him and loves Him and seeks to follow Him. Christ is present when we live as He lived, seeking after kindness, forgiveness, and generosity. When we desire to give more than we get. When we are willing to sacrifice our will for the greater good. When we help create a place of acceptance and honesty and grace. Christ is present. Right here. Right now. In the power of this moment. In the mystery of this table. In the life of Christ, we are invited to taste and to share and to live.